My first impression of the word revival was from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Crusade. Billy Graham hosted annual crusades from 1947 until his retirement in 2005. And all in all, he had 400 crusades that reached 210 million people in more than 185 countries on six continents. In 1954, when he started in 55, he preached in Europe. And then in 1956, he toured India and the Far East. In 1958, he went to the Caribbean Islands. 1959, he went down under, and the same year to Africa. And in 1962, he went to South America, France, and Germany. 1967, to Puerto Rico, Canada, and Japan. But the biggest impression to us is 1970s. He went to Asia, and it was in South Korea in 1973. It was the biggest attendance of 1.1 million people on the last day of his crusade. Not only that, in 1975, he came to Taiwan and Hong Kong. 1977, went to Philippines and Singapore, where I attended the Singapore Millennium Crusade on the first year I was saved. Amazingly, he even went to other countries, communist countries of China and Russia in 1988, and finally to North Korea in 1992. Today our topic is on revival. Even though chapter 11 is one of the most difficult chapters in the Bible, but in Revelation, through all the troubles, God did not desert his people. In Revelation chapter 4, we see the four horsemen came bringing disasters. And in chapter 9, we see locusts, scorpions, and horses bringing more damage. But what was God's response? In chapter 10, he sent angels to help his children. And now in chapter 11, he will send two witnesses. Today we talk about what's the role of God's people when God brings about revival in the land. What are you and I supposed to prepare for? Why is God's word never left without his witness to the world? The first point is that we have to be witness with our lives. I'll read from verses 1. I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the worshippers there. But exclude the other court, do not measure it, because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm the two witnesses, them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. This man has the power to shut up the sky so they will not rain during the time they are prophesying. And their power to turn the waters into blood and strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. For revival to occur, we must have courage to witness with our lives. One of the greatest revival speakers you may not heard of is from China, John Song, Song Xiangji. His ministry was a short 12 years, and he died at a young age of 42. But why is he so well known? Because he's known as the Billy Graham of China. Some people call him China's John the Baptist, and some other people call him the man who moved to Asia. Why? Because not only did he go to China, but from 1928 to 1940, John Song traveled to Singapore, Indonesia, Malaysia, Burma, Philippines, Taiwan, and Thailand. It's been said that 100,000 people were converted through his ministries. That's a funny story from one of his students. He talked about how a chicken farmer and his wife and sons and daughters wanted very much to go to listen to John Song, but they have a farm to tend to, chicken farm. And so they pray for a way to attend John's revival meetings. And you know how was their problem solved? Overnight, Mr. Sim said, in one night, All our chickens were taken by a sudden epidemic. This releases us to go to meetings to hear the word of God. Now, chapter 11 left off from chapter 10. John was instructed to prophesy to the nations. And you must prophesy again before many people, nations, languages, and kings. That's the last verse 11 of chapter 10. Now, the object is to prophesy to people, nations, languages, and kings. In chapter 11, the word nations mentioned three times in verse 2, verse 9, and 18. Mentioned more in chapter 11 than any chapter in Revelation. Now, how was John to witness? He's supposed to prophesy the world. And God gave an example through the two witnesses. These two witnesses are very important. In verse 10, they are called prophets. Who are they? Now, the two witnesses, first of all, they are likely to be Jewish because they are prophets. Now, some said they are Moses, Elijah, and others said Enoch and Elijah because they did not die. And some combination says that one is Jewish, one is Gentile, and some say represents Israel and the church. And for the Mormons, it represents Joseph Smith and his brother. And for the Seventh-day Adventists, Ellen G. White and the elder, Uriah Smith. Now, so no matter who they are, definitely not cults, okay? Now, in the last chapter, he was supposed to prophesy. And here we can see the two witnesses doing the same. So what the two witnesses did was an example to John when he wrote that too. But the two witnesses, they will prophesy with power to people far and wide. When the two witnesses come, hearers, faithful or fearful of what's going on, will get to hear and be revived. Countries, free or not, they will get to hear the gospel. Because they will come to reach with power, passion, and persistence for 3.5 years. And when they come, God's fire will come with them to burn, blaze, and bake his enemies. How is it going to come? Verse 5, with fire. Verse 6, with rain and water. And verse 4, heaven. Verse 6, earth, heaven, and sky. And plagues are in his hands. So we can see that God will use his witnesses to witness for him. And I have a chart here. This is the 6W. Who? They are two witnesses. What are they to do? Prophesy. When? 1,233 score days. First, where? They are prophesied to Gentiles, people, countries, tongues, and dwell upon the earth. Verse 11. Verse 15 to the world. Verse 18 to the nations. And how are they going to do? With power and sackcloth. One power is to show the might of God. But sackcloth is also for mourning. Why? The Bible tells us verse 4, because it's God of the earth. And verse 13, he is God of heaven. So, brothers and sisters, for revival to happen, we are supposed to witness by our lives. You and I will be revived because God's power and passion and persistence is with us. The second point, when we are involved in God's revival, we win, even though when we lose. Verse 7, now when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes from the abyss will attack them, overpower and kill them. Their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figurative called Sodom in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. To the inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and celebrate by sending each other gifts, because the two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. But after 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud, while their enemies looked on. At that very hour, there was a severe earthquake, and the tent of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the survivors were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second bowl had passed. The third bowl is coming soon. Do you know when you preach the revival, the gospel of revival, the message of revival, there will be persecution. There will be trouble. Now, lately, if you see the news in last week, one of the most unlikely places to have a revival is Nigeria, in the capital of Kampala, where more than 70-80% of the population are believers. Well, last month, the sea commissioner gave all people who witness to God, especially the street preachers, evangelists, and there are lots of them, give them 30 days in order to move out of the city. He said to them, "Our good pastors, we love you so much, but I'm giving you an amnesty of 30 days so that you evacuate the streets. We want a more serious city. All pastors, all vendors, all children beggars, among other disorganized groups, should leave the city." How are you to respond if you are a preacher, if you are evangelistic of God's word? Now, the street preachers and their organizers were undeterred. The organizers said, "I love the streets. I love engaging people. We have been doing this every morning since January the 2nd, and we hope to carry on through the year." Another pastor, Masasi Essen, he says, "I will be preaching on the streets every day of the week. The message is powerful. But those who don't respond immediately, we at least prepare the stage for the next preacher." What did the city commissioner do? He started to distance himself and said, "I can't start war with God. I would rather deal with other challenges the capital Kampala is facing than to limit the rights of those serving the Lord. Honestly, who am I to make war with God?" In chapter 11, the people who preached revival with power had a lot of problems. You don't know, witnessing for the Lord is not easy. It's not effortless. And it's not entertaining by any means. Now, what does it mean to witness? Witness, the word, the noun is testimony. It occurs 8 times in Revelation. First time, witness bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is chapter 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 9, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 6, 9. Slain for the word of God and for the testimony. Chapter 12, verse 11. Overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Chapter 12, verse 17. Keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Chapter 19, verse 10. Have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Chapter 20, verse 4. Witness of Jesus and the word of God. So you see, Revelation is talking about to be the witness of God. But, you know, it's never easy. Now, half of the word of the noun, war, which happens in verse 17, occurs in the Bible, is in Revelation. But there are people making war in Revelation, and all of them are from the enemies. Who are they? Revelation chapter 9. The fallen star. Chapter 11, the beast. Chapter 12, the war in heaven. Chapter 17, from the dragon. No, chapter 12, verse 17, from the dragon. Chapter 13, from the beast. Chapter 16, the word war is associated with the kings of the earth. Chapter 19, verse 19, beasts and kings of the earth. And finally, chapter 20, the nations Gog and Magog. So, while the Lamb, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will eventually overcome the beast, but halfway, there will be a lot of people involved in the war, trying to stop believers. And we will have hardship like any other, just like Ukraine is suffering. Horror, humiliation, hatred from the part of those who persecute the two witnesses. And verse 8 to 9, they will be killed and not afforded any burial. So, and also you see in this word, in this chart, there are a lot of people who are enemies of God. Verse 9, people, tribe, language, and nation. Verse 10, the inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts. Verse 11, those who saw them, terror struck them. Verse 12, the enemies they looked on. Verse 13, 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake. Verse 13, survivors were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. So, brothers and sisters, there are people who give their lives to God. But when even when we lose our lives, we win because God is on our side. And the third point I want to talk about is to wait on the Lord. Sometimes you don't see things happening as it is, but we do our best to win, witness for the Lord. And sometimes when we lose, but still we win. And finally, we have to wait on the Lord. Verse 15, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven who said, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations are angry and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints, and those who reverence your name, both small and great, for destroying those who destroy the earth. Verse 19, then in God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the Ark of the Covenant, and the flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a great hailstorm. Brothers and sisters, we are to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes you don't see things happening, but God has already won the battle. He's using us to reign. Have you wondered what it feels like to fall into the hands of God, even though the enemies gloat right now? Well, lately on the news, you see Russia invaded Ukraine on February 24. What happened when they were celebrating? US, UK, and EU decided to impose sanctions upon them. Those people who were closest to Putin and the Kremlin. One of the biggest stories is the second richest Russian in Russia. He's the owner of Chelsea Football Club. It's called Abramovich. Okay, and Roman Abramovich was sanctioned by US, UK, and EU. What does it mean? He has $12.9 billion and all his assets were frozen, including his beloved Chelsea Football Club. Now, what does it mean? That the Chelsea club's shop must close. No more match tickets can be sold. The club can play their fixtures and pay wages to all employees. But no new player sales or purchases will be permitted. And they're only allowed to host their home fixtures, not exceeding $500,000 per match. And this week, so funny, even the credit cards were canceled. Brothers and sisters, no matter how hard the persecution is, no matter how hard the hardship is, no matter how hard the suffering is, we wait on the Lord and they'll be rejoicing. And in the last part, you see there are a lot of contrast. The first section, there are two declarations. One, by the voices in heaven, verse 15. And the next point is by the 24 elders. And the first declaration, verse 15, and second one, 16, both of them has one common denominator, which is the verb rain. Okay, you look at the verb rain, it's in both verses. What does the word rain mean? Rain is taken from the same verse that says the kingdom. Kingdom is basileia. Rain is basileo in Greek. Okay? So they are from the same root. And this word, the rain, verses 15, 17, occurs more times in Revelation than any book in the Bible. Okay? And it is never compromised. It's not given to anybody, only to Christ. Okay? And who else will reign besides Christ? Three times Christ will reign. Four times believers will reign. And so, brothers and sisters, the word reign is never used for our enemies, only Christ, and he will, and we will reign with him forever and ever. The word forever and ever in the Bible occurs for the first time in Exodus 15, verse 18. It says, the Lord reigns forever and ever. So, brothers and sisters, even though the enemies conquer for a short time, but it's the Lord who reigns forever. And the wonderful thing is that, not only that, we will reign with him. Okay? We will reign with him. Who? All his prophets, all his saints, all who reverence his name. We will reign with him one day. Okay? We will inherit the kingdom of God. And you look at the second time, the 24 elders fell on their faces. And they worship Lord God Almighty. Okay, Lord God Almighty appears only in Revelation. What does it mean? That he alone is omnipotent. He is invisible. He is invincible and all-powerful. And so, in the end, we give thanks to God. Okay, we give thanks to God. And more remarkable, this in all the books in the Bible, only Revelation hardly used the personal pronoun we. In fact, through 21 chapters, the personal pronoun we is used only three times. And here it is used for believers giving thanks and reigning. So, brothers and sisters, remember, we are in God's kingdom, and we will reign with him and we give thanks to him. Finally, in verses 17, 18, and 19, we have a lot of names. Lord God Almighty, which means that he will come to reign. Okay? And the second, verse 18, the nations, they will suffer rebuke by the Lord, okay, in his anger. And verse 18, the dead, they will be judged by the Lord, and they will be given an assessment. There will be even a rating. And finally, the servants and the prophets of the Lord, the Lord will acknowledge them. You shall give them reward. And the saints, those who reverence their name. And finally, in verse 19, God will destroy them in aggression and will cause them ruin. Brothers and sisters, this is the conclusion. Are you ready for the Lord's coming? Is he coming for you? What do you need to get ready? Do you need repentance? Do you need rebuke? Do you need God's reckoning for you to wake up from where you are? Or are you part of the people who reign? God will remedy you, reconcile you, and give you and your returns will be more than everlasting to be with God forever and ever. Amen.